We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
And now, time for a McNeil and Parkins Bears Draft Memory.
With the ninth choice in the NFL Draft 2000, the Chicago Bears select Brian Urlacher, linebacker, New Mexico.
Brian's a tremendous player, and he's going to be a tremendous player on into the future.
Brian Urlacher, the defensive player of the year, forces the three and out. Watch Urlacher here, guys. Kept reaching in and just pulled it out of the arms of James.
Butkus, Singletary, Urlacher.
Brian Urlacher has decided to take over this football game.
Bear fans, your dream is reality. Begin the migration to Miami and Super Bowl 41.
His athleticism brought new potential to his position and new problems to his opposition. The quintessential Chicago linebacker, Brian Urlacher. Ladies and gentlemen, your Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2018.
That was your McNeil and Parkins Bears draft memory on 670 The Score.
Yes, we are. Thank you very much for being with us. The goal with the eighth overall pick, find a Hall of Famer. Your job isn't too hard tonight. Ryan Pace, we're at Shoeless Joe's in Addison for a draft day broadcast brought to you by Prairie Organic Vodka. Taste the farm-crafted difference. This segment brought to you by Orkin. Every home is unique. That's why Orkin relies on the latest science to get rid of pests. Visit Orkin.com today. Orkin, pest control down to a science. Nick Shepkowski hanging out with me, Danny Parkins, Dan McNeil. He's been hanging out here with a bunch of listeners. His voice still not recovered from the latest collagen injection into his throat. The man has a paralyzed vocal cord. Tough to do radio in that condition. We're hoping that he is back on Monday. Cubs day game tomorrow makes us having a short show. Cubs game tonight on The Score, so The Score's draft show is at 670thescore.com. Before we get back into the draft, Shep, let's hear from Joe Maddon. It's becoming a thing, I would say, because he said that Chris Bryant is not going on the disabled list, and they've said that he doesn't have a concussion, and he's taking batting practice, and they keep saying it's day-to-day, but the best player on the team and a former MVP got hit in the face with a pitch, and he still hasn't played in a game, and he's not in the lineup tonight. So here's what Joe Maddon had to say to update Chris Bryant's condition while the Cubs are back at Wrigley Field.
Joe, the word on Chris is it's just basically precautionary
stuff? Yeah, day-to-day kind of stuff. He's doing some stuff right now with the guys, and I'm going to wait and hear back. I don't anticipate anything awful or bad. We're just waiting for everybody to be on board, and once we do that, it'll be back out there playing. That's it. I mean, I have really nothing complicated. I'm not concealing anything.
Is there a possibility he's available in case?
I hope. That's what I'm hoping to find out. They might come back and tell me something like that, so we'll just wait and see.
Chris offers so much. What kind of intangibles are missing when he's not in the lineup?
Well, just when if you're the manager on the other team and I send the lineup over and his name's not on it, you kind of smile or snicker a little bit. It's just the whole thing changes. You know, the lineup changes, the length of the lineup changes, the method that they want to employ, everything changes when you're missing a guy like that in your lineup. So we feel it, they feel it. We've done okay since then, and we've won 2 out of 3 without him in the lineup, including the game that he got hit. I'm counting that one. So it's just different. It's just different. It's hard to, I think, maintain a level of high success when you're missing guys like that. You can battle through it briefly, but in the long term, you definitely don't want to lose them for a long period of time.
Joe, just one more on Chris. I mean, he obviously is a tough player, strong-willed. He's played through a lot of things in the last couple of years, but how does he just step back into the box after a traumatic thing like that? Do you talk to him about it? Are you concerned about that?
I wouldn't talk to him about it, honestly. I won't have that conversation. I think that's pretty personal. If he wants to reach out and talk to anybody, I would talk to guys that it's happened to before, quite frankly. My thought is, I mean, just, you know, I've been hit, but not by a pitch, but I've been hit in the head. And you just, there's normally that initial moment, then eventually you get back and you get back on a horse and you stop thinking about it. I think it's pretty much what happens. I think we could all relate to different situations in our life when you might have this traumatic thing that occurs and it might linger for a couple of days and then hopefully it goes away, which it does. So I'm just listening to him. I'm listening to what his needs are right now and making sure that the medical procedures are being followed so that we do everything right. It's never going to be a unilateral decision on my part to insist that he plays, ever. So I'm listening to KB, our doctors, trying to do the right things and get him back out there. It's early. I really feel strongly he's going to be fine, but I don't want to push it.
So that's Joe Maddon from Wrigley Field. I mean, my takeaway from that is that it's now absolutely a thing to watch. And it would have been anyway when an MVP gets hit in the face and he misses time. But even if they're not going to diagnose it as a concussion, you wonder, like, when he says they're like, I'm never going to unilaterally force KB to play, not ever. Well, good, you shouldn't, obviously. And the doctors and him have to be comfortable with him playing. But you wonder if it's that KB doesn't feel like he can get back in the box yet, and like what type of mental hurdles he will have to overcome to stand in there against the 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, and Joe says day-to-day kind of stuff. What's that kind of stuff? Is it as simple as getting in the batter's box and seeing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball come at you, or is it waking up with headaches? Is it waking up with symptoms of some form of concussion or just head pain, something in there? Everybody being on board? Who is everybody in this? Is it Chris Bryant? Is it Chris Bryant and his family? Is it team doctors? Is it Joe Maddon? Is it Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer? Where is the everybody are the questions that immediately come to mind for me.
Yeah, so it's interesting, no doubt, but the mental hurdle of it, I mean, Chris Bryant was having a really good start to the season.
Oh, great.
And he always adds something to his game, and we noted with Jeff Passan earlier in the week about how his strikeout numbers are down, and some of his numbers even last year projected out better than his MVP numbers from 2 years ago, and that he keeps getting better. It's just one of those things that, obviously, for his health, it sounds like he's fine, right? Like, it sounds like he's fine. So we can remove that concern. But the baseball evaluation side of it is, man, I hope he has that same instinct at the plate. I hope it doesn't take him a month or 2 months or whatever long to get back into it. It would just be so unfortunate for something like that to derail a great offensive player, a Hall of Fame trajectory of a career, and anything like that. And obviously that's way too negative on the other side to think that it could derail a career in that way. But just a great season. He's the best player on the team for a team that has World Series expectations, and he had a great first few weeks of the season. Then he got hit in the face.
Yeah, he got hit in the face, and now it's starting to get to the point where it happened on Sunday. We're 4 days later here at Thursday, and it's starting to get to the point of, do you start to consider the retroactively DL him for roster spot? If this is going to be something that lasts into the weekend, four-game series against the Brewers, is it better served to retroactively stick him there on Monday and take your chances on the weekend with somebody else taking up that roster spot?
Yeah, right. So they could retroactively at any time, but they haven't yet. And so, and then just get another bench player up there for the weekend series. We'll bring you what we put together of the experts that have been on the score and on our show for the eighth overall pick for the Bears. We played it with Quentin Nelson earlier, so this one's going to be picks other than Quentin Nelson for the Bears. For me, Shep, Quentin Nelson is the most likely pick. I get it. It's an easy dot to connect, but it is not the one that I would like the most, because I would look at either Roquan Smith or Minka Fitzpatrick as guys who could be elite at more valuable positions than Quentin Nelson. So to me, if I was personally ranking it, Roquan Smith, Minka Fitzpatrick, Quentin Nelson would be my order of preference, assuming Bradley Chubb is not there, obviously. Bradley Chubb is best-case scenario in some weird, bizarre universe where he falls.
Every possible quarterback gets drafted because teams traded up. The Colts traded out of their pick. The Broncos traded out of their pick. And you get four guys gone, and somehow things fall the way they need to in order for him to fall there. Yeah,
and the thing is, like, Tampa needs so much help on defense that it seems so ridiculous that if Nelson, Barkley, and the four QBs went 1-6, that Tampa would clearly take him. But it's some weird scenario where they think that Minka Fitzpatrick is, you know, Troy Polamalu or Ed Reed or something like that, and then there was Bradley Chubb there. Outside of that scenario, I'm in favor of Roquan Smith.
Well, I'm with you on that part of it, because we sit here and we've discussed the, positional value. And you'll even hear people be hesitant to give positional value to an interior linebacker. It's like, okay, What did Tanny just play coming out at the 5 o'clock open right there? It was the best of Brian Urlacher. Brian Urlacher was taken 9th overall the year he was taken by the Bears. He changed the way middle linebacker was played, and sure, that's a reach to think that anyone's going to come out and be a generational talent and end up in Canton one day like Urlacher will, but like, do you think that the Bears look back and were like, oh yeah, man, the positional value, it was really a risk to take the linebacker that ended up changing a franchise there?
No.
Like, and I look at Smith that way because he is. If you watch him on tape, and I'm no expert, I'm no Matt Miller, I'm no Dan Durkin when it comes to that. But when you watch Georgia at all this year, when you watch the national championship, when you watch game against Oklahoma in their comeback, Georgia's comeback in the Rose Bowl, who was always around the ball, whether it was on the far sideline, the near sideline, up the middle?
He's an awesome player.
He's around everywhere, and that's something that the Bears, God bless Nick Kwiatkowski, that's not what Nick Kwiatkowski does.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because there isn't a more valuable position. Like, it's unfortunate that it's just not the year where, like, the second best outside edge rusher, whether you think it's Harold Landry from Boston College or Marcus Davenport, whoever you think it is, it's unfortunate that that guy, according to the experts, is not worthy of the 8th overall pick in the draft. The dark horse pick that I think that people should keep in mind is Tremaine Edmonds. Because that, I've said it for over a month.
The ultimate Ryan Pace pick.
Yep. 19 years old, tests through the roof athletically, projection. Maybe he's an inside guy. That's what he did in college at Va Tech, but they could think that with his speed and power, they can move him outside. And so buying the project, like buying the stock low and saying that they can mold him in, because that's what he did with Trubisky. He bought a set of tools with Mitch Trubisky, right? That's what he did with Kevin White, athleticism. Like, that's what he loves. So
wouldn't Derwin James be along that same path then? In that maybe the film's not as good as Fitzpatrick, but the physical stands out more?
Yeah, it absolutely would be. But I think, because of the position of need of pass rusher, that's where the Edmonds thing, like, I can't get that part of it out of my head. No one's mocking him to the Bears, but that's the one that I just can't escape, that it feels like Ryan Pace, because all these people tell you we draft the best player available. The truth is, they draft the best player available at a position of need. The experts that you've heard on The Score and the show on the 8th overall pick, the best of it, coming up next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And now, time for a McNeil and Parkins Bears Draft Memory.
With the 45th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Adam Shaheen, tight end, Ashland.
Adam Shaheen, the Eaton machine out of Ashland. He was 6'4.5", 195 pounds in high school. And then he said he started scarfing Chipotle burritos. He's now 278 pounds.
That was your McNeil and Parkins Bears Draft Memory on 670 The Score.
Can't call him a bust yet, but they're spending more money on tight ends than all but it's the only position group, them and wide receiver, that they're spending above average, and it's the only position group where they're the top five in spending in the NFL, the Bears and the tight end group this year for Ryan Pace and his salary cap. We'll talk to Lawrence Holmes at the end of the hour. I'm Danny Parkins, live at Shoeless Joe's in Addison with Prairie Organic Vodka. Taste the farm-crafted difference. Outside of Quentin Nelson, the most mocked player to the Bears, Matt Miller, Charles Davis, Brian Billick, and Greg Cosell weighed in on what they expect for the 8th overall pick in the Chicago Bears.
Matt Miller at NFL Draft. Scott,
if Quentin Nelson makes it, I would think he's the pick, right? If he's off the board, then Denzel Ward is. It's funny that he's not gotten talked about enough. And then when you talk to people in the league, he's a consensus top 10 player, but he's just not getting a lot of love. And I would say the same for guys like Tremaine Edmonds, who I've gushed about on your show before, you know, just not only because of the potential, but what he can do for you right away is such a great fit in that defense. So the only name that I've heard linked there that maybe you guys didn't mention was Derwin James. There's just so many people love him. and the athleticism that he brings to the table, it's really hard for me not seeing him end up in the top 10 or 12 picks.
Matt, I'm crazy about Denzel Ward, too. I thought he was the best player by a mile in the Big Ten title game, either side of the ball, both Ohio State and Wisconsin. I wonder if part of the reason no one's talking about him, maybe the biggest reason, is Minkah Fitzpatrick. He does everything. The way people talk about this guy, he's a little bit Ronnie Lott. He's a little bit Miles Jack of the Jaguars. He can do it all.
No, I mean, Minkah's not only a great player, he's a great person. Like, when you talk to people at Alabama, you know, they're going to praise his character and his football instincts and his leadership and work ethic and everything that goes into it. And it does make him a really special prospect. And I think with Minkah, the biggest question is, where is he going to be used, right? Because like you just mentioned, Dan, he has played all over. And that makes it harder to figure out, like, okay, is he a safety? Is he a slot corner? Is he a slot nickel linebacker? Is he an outside corner? So sometimes when you're able to do a lot of things well instead of just one or two great things, it can hurt your value a little bit. But I still think that Minkah is one of the, outside of the quarterbacks, he's one of the five best players in this entire draft. And, he should still definitely be in play to be a top seven or eight pick at worst.
Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox and the NFL Network.
The Bears are sitting there at eight, Charles, and they could use a pass rusher.
At eight, you would think that Bradley Chubb from North Carolina State, who I think by consensus is the best pass rusher in the draft, you would think that he's not going to be there. So that leads you to, if you decide you're going to take an edge pass rusher there, okay, you're going to run to the board, or up to the podium, we're taking an edge rusher. You're probably picking between Marcus Davenport, UTSA, or you're picking between or Harold Landry from Boston College. Davenport, I think people would be able to kind of get their arms around taking him at eight. I think if you took Landry at eight, people would probably have an arched eyebrow because he didn't have a 2017 that equaled 2016 for various reasons. Over time, could Landry be better? Yeah, he could be. But Davenport's a bigger guy. He's got more frame. I think he's going to fill out a little bit more. And my best comp for him is Ziggy Ansah. With more experience on the college level, Ziggy didn't have that at all. You were taking a real leap on Ziggy, and Ziggy went to the top 10, and he's been in double-digit sacks two of the last three seasons. The season he wasn't, he had a bad ankle most of the year. So that's what you're looking for. That's what you would have if you're going to take someone at eight. Personally, I don't know that the Bears will go there. I think that at eight, if Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame, is still sitting there, I feel like that's where they will go, because you have to take care of your number one commodity, and now it's time to really get your arms around taking care of Mitchell Trubisky. You got to keep him upright, keep him from getting hit. And by the way, Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen would wave their hands and go, we'll take him. We're good.
Brian Billick.
Yeah, you're looking at, you can go quarterback with Denzel Ward from Ohio State. You got a couple really good linebackers in Smith and Edmonds from Georgia and Virginia Tech. Even Fitzpatrick, and I love the kid from Alabama. This is the most versatile defender in the draft. And a Vic fan, having coached with me, would like the versatility of Fitzpatrick from Alabama. So there's going to be a plethora of good defensive talent to choose from.
Do you think Fitzpatrick is there at eight?
Yeah, I do. Because, just again, if you think, okay, Barkley and the quarterbacks, then Chubb, okay, so there's five picks right there. The cornerback Ward, because the way we put the value on
sure.
Now, can I see someone taking Fitzpatrick in front of those linebackers? Sure. Yeah, I can see him, but I can also see him falling down to the number 10. So, yeah, he could very easily be there at eight.
NFL Films, executive producer, analyst at NFL Matchup, Greg Cosell. Who, in your estimation, for Vic Fangio's 3-4 scheme, is the second best player defensively behind Bradley Chubb?
Well, let's talk about the scheme real quick, because I think that's what's important. Vic Fangio is one of the best in the league. What he does exceptionally well, and it starts with his safeties, who normally line up in what we call a two-shell. There's not one high safety. There's two split safeties. But he blurs the coverage exceedingly well. But in order to do that, you need linebackers. And I think that the linebacker position is a position that they really have to go after, the interior linebacker position. When Vic's defenses have been really good, you go back to San Francisco, he had Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis. They need inside linebackers. I could look at someone like Roquan Smith at eight if they chose not to have to take Nelson or if Nelson was gone. And I think that kind of player would fit perfectly for a Vic Fangio defense. He's a high-level athlete. He can run. He can play sideline to sideline. The way I describe it, he can play inside, out as well as anybody. He does a nice job with his play recognition and his understanding to play ahead of blocks. He's a high-level athlete. And in today's NFL, with the way offenses are now structured, with tight ends, with running backs as receivers, the middle of the field is an area that gets attacked and you must defend. And Roquan Smith would fit that role, I think, very well for the Bears.
So that was Greg Cosell and Matt Miller and Brian Billick. I mean, we have people who combined 100-plus years of NFL experience you've heard on this show. Charles Davis, so many names there that have been discussed for the Bears at 8 and all the scenarios for the NFL draft. But one scenario that only the Score's very own Les Grobstein could properly cover came up on this station. You'll hear it after the update.
And now, time for a McNeil and Parkins Bears draft memory.
With the 14th pick, the Chicago Bears select Kyle Fuller, defensive back, Virginia Tech.
That's my guy. I mean, I love that pick.
You can play in any scheme with that ability right there.
I thought they might go either Calvin Pryor or Ha Ha Clinton Dix. They have just become a better defense.
My favorite corner in the draft. He's a lot like Charles Tillman. I love his playing style. This kid is tough, and he is a savage the way he plays.
That was your McNeil and Parkins Bears draft memory on 670 The Score.
And it was brought to you by Burlington. Refresh your spring closet for less at your Burlington store. What's hot? Stripes, dots, and gingham plus cool hardware like pearls, sequins, grommets, and much more. Burlington, style for everyone. Hey, what did I have earlier in that Kyle Fuller draft? 10 of the top 17 picks went to the Pro Bowl. Khalil Mack, the 5th overall pick. Because I was going through these drafts and saying, all right, the Bears tonight could have the 4th non-quarterback with the 8th overall pick. And going back the last 5 drafts, that has either been the 5th or the 6th pick in the draft. So being at 8 with your quarterback, you have 5th or 6th best type of draft value with the 8th overall pick. So hopefully Ryan Pace is going to get a very good player tonight.
Yeah, and what stands out to me when you think of the Kyle Fuller pick is if you remember who kind of fell in that draft a bit, and it's something that you've mentioned this week and leading up to the draft, of if X player is there, would you trade up one spot? You've made the comparison with Bradley Chubb, who went one pick before Kyle Fuller that season.
Aaron Donald.
The best defensive player in the National Football League went to the Rams a pick before, and it's like that's one of those cases that, yeah, when you're talking about supreme talent, franchise-changing talent, or defensive-defining talent, that's one of them, and that's one that you look back on and be like, hell yeah, I would have given up a lot in order to get Donald there.
And I know you said you wanted to react to something from our montage that Channing just played. Go ahead.
All right, I was just thinking of it with the names of Fitzpatrick that kept getting named there, of Minkah Fitzpatrick, this, and then also Derwin James, and his athletic ability and the measurables with him are off the chart for a safety. I can't help but think what the 49ers did when they were forming Vic Fangio's offense, or defense, rather. And I know Greg Cosell kept mentioning linebackers, linebackers, linebackers. It seems to me, I don't know, I don't have a whole lot of belief that Smith's going to be there based off of our mock draft, other mock drafts that you've seen, Tampa writers and other writers saying, yeah, a bunch of teams are in on him early on. Who knows if those are accurate or not. Just remember, though, Vic Fangio's 49ers teams a couple of times took first-round safeties in order to form that great defense. So don't be that surprised. Eric Reed, Jimmy Ward, which were key parts in that as well. First-round picks were used on both those guys, and I know they were late first-round picks. First-round picks, nonetheless, that were huge parts of that defense.
Yeah, it's funny because the Bears' secondary, in terms of the four names, is established in the sense that Adrian Amos and Eddie Jackson both graded out really well and are cheap, and Prince Amukamara and Kyle Fuller are no longer cheap, but they're both under contract. So in theory, like, that's your starting secondary. But Amos is not asked to do a whole heck of a lot. He just grades out well at what he does. And Eddie Jackson, a fourth-round pick, a rookie, had a nice year, but don't know if that's necessarily a cornerstone guy. Great start to his career, but Minkah Fitzpatrick is on a different level of prospect talent.
He had 8 interceptions a season ago. Yeah. 22 takeaways total, and Eddie Jackson was a forced fumble machine last year. But in terms of takeaways and quarterbacks in this league, in this division, let's look at it. The way things are built, you got hit by the Packers. Aaron Rodgers throws all over the place. Matt Stafford, same thing. What did the Vikings do this offseason? Go and get Kirk Cousins. They're going to be a more pass-heavy team. Who do you have that can take the ball away in your secondary? Not a whole lot of guys you trust in that department. That's why I, the more and more I think about this, the more and more I start leaning towards Fitzpatrick.
Hey, it would be a great pick. I mean, you're in your sub-package more than 50% of the time.
Sure.
That means you're bringing an extra defensive back onto the field. And so if Minkah Fitzpatrick can play outside, inside, back safety, play the slot corner, there's tremendous value there. And probably becomes your defensive captain in a year or two.
Yeah, not too far off.
You know what I mean? So there's also that element of intangible for him as well. But speaking of linebackers,
you need somebody that can get after a quarterback, right?
That's exactly
plays
right.
Plays angry, plays
yeah,
mad.
Tough guy. He's going to be hydrated out there. He's going to patrol. I mean, this is, you know, monsters in the midway. Yeah, it's Singletary, Butkus, Urlacher. Potentially the Grobber has found the next great middle linebacker in Chicago.
312-644-6767. Got some other people making different predictions here, people that have no clue who's going to get picked, but they're making predictions, and that's cool. It's fun to do. One person from 708 is saying that the Bears are going to keep pick number 8 and select Bobby Boucher from South Carolina, or make that South Central Louisiana State University. Somebody from an area that is not all that well known, but a lot of fans are not going to be thrilled for that a pick like that. They're looking for somebody from a major program.
It's a good point by Grobber. It would be a reach for Boucher, I think, at 8. But if Ryan Pace was able to trade down back half of the first round, Boucher, I think, becomes nice and valuable.
Yeah,
it's
kind of like Davenport right now. Texas San Antonio, lesser-known university.
Right.
Taking the lesser-known type of guy. Maybe the Bears do that with Bobby Boucher.
Here's the thing, too. Like, when you come on and you're doing overnights, you've had all day of score programming, right? So like, they say, like, okay, afternoons, you got to have a different angle on the main story of the day because the morning show and the midday show have already covered all the traditional angles. But I mean, by the time afternoons is over and Lawrence Holmes does his great show, and whether you're on or Julie or whomever, on, I mean, Grobber's got a really come up with an outside-the-box idea for the overnights, and he did it with Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, he
Bobby
knocked Boucher. It out of the park. Knocked it out of the park with Bobby Boucher being the Bears' draft pick there. You were mentioning fictional football characters. Which ones would you take, like, if you were to have a draft of that?
And yeah.
I don't know, man. I just keep going back to the cast of Any Given Sunday because outside of the main stars, the rest of it was former NFL players in all of it. So that's the one that I keep going to.
A lot of fans are not going to be thrilled for that a pick like that. They're looking for somebody from a major program.
At Scout on the Couch on Twitter filled out a roster, Shep. His quarterback is Willie Beeman. In the backfield, he's got Darnell Jefferson and Al Bundy. Wide receivers, Featherstone, Charlie Tweeter, and Rod Tidwell. Tweeter, I mean, tremendous upside, but that's a projection pick out of high school.
Yeah, Tidwell, though, body control. I mean, he goes up and makes a big catch, but he's a liability to get hurt in the end zone on Christmas night.
Billy Bob, Bud Kaminsky.
Billy Bob's dead, though, so I don't know if that's going to be a good draft pick.
Manu Mana, Rudy Zoltek, and Louis Lastic on the offensive line. Julius Campbell, Latimer, and Ivory Christian on the defensive line with Bobby Boucher, Alvin Mack, and Jefferson as your linebackers.
Bobby Boucher.
That's right. I mean, it's a good team.
Yeah, Latimer's going to fire up your sideline. He's going to be the guy that gets announced on the starting defense, crashes head through the car in the parking lot, gets the whole team fired up, ready to go on a Sunday morning.
I've heard worse draft thoughts than Bobby Boucher.
Oh, no doubt.
At 3 o'clock today, by the way, we did a mock draft. If you want to check out the podcast, we had 6 guests for the 7 teams, and then Rich Campbell selected the Bears pick, the beat writer for the Chicago Tribune. It was fun. You can check it out at 670thescore.com. I tweeted it out at McNeil_Parkins on Twitter, but it was 6 guests, or excuse me, it was 7 guests for 8 teams, all in one segment. So we did our own mock draft, and I called it the first annual. But if the Bears win like 10 games next year and have the 22nd overall pick, Shep, are we going to get 21 guests on next
year? Yeah, that's going to be the one problem with the Bears if they do get good here in the short term.
We're going to lose that segment.
No, we're not.
Oh, okay.
It's just going to be a lot more booking and a lot more. You saw me stress eating over it just being 7 or 8 picks today. Imagine it when it's like 22 or 23 and we're on a remote a year from now.
Yeah.
What I'm going to be stress eating. It's just like, I'm not going to just be those mac and cheese bites.
Those mac and cheese bites were delicious, though. And by the way, you can't say first annual. You must
say
inaugural. Yeah.
Herb must be on the phones right now because that's
you guys are awesome. Thank you very much for that.
Grammar police.
We will talk to
Man, we have a day game tomorrow, so we're only going to have like 30 minutes to react to all this.
We have to do the Saturday Night Live with Gerald Ford dying. We have to like record our reaction of what the Bears pick is because we're not going to actually be able to be here live tomorrow to give it.
That'll work, but Lawrence Holmes has 30 minutes coming up, so we'll bring him in early coming up next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And now, time for a McNeil and Parkins Bears draft memory.
We get the Bears pick here in Chicago. And Rich, I'm very much a Beavers guy.
The Chicago Bears select Deion Bush, defensive back, Miami.
Bush first caught my eye at the East West game.
I can't help you out, man. The producer, help us out.
Let's go back to the East West game. Deion Bush.
Let's talk about Gerald Hawkins right now.
Let's talk about it.
We'll throw it a break.
Let's go back.
Just throw it a break. We work very long hours here. We've got a lot more hours to go.
That was your McNeil and Parkins Bears draft memory on 670 The Score.
Six times over.
Deion Bush. Good stuff, Chris Tannehill. You are the real MVP. We had a ton of people on today's show that helped out. Shoeless Joe's here in Addison for a draft day broadcast brought to you by Prairie Organic Vodka. Taste the farm crafted difference. I'll get to all the thank yous in just a second. But our guy, Lawrence Holmes, is back in the Score studios. How's it going, Lawrence? Happy draft day.
It is draft day, and I don't know if Superman is available. We shall see. Was it Mac? Was that the name of the linebacker in that movie too? Draft day.
Okay,
it was. There was the name on the sheet.
Alvin Mack.
Yeah.
Alvin Mack. Yeah. I've seen draft day once, and it was a you pancake eating mother bleeper. That's really the only thing I retained. So who do you have them taking, Lawrence?
Well, I think that they'll end up taking Quentin Nelson. I would prefer that they take Roquan Smith. That's my guy. Like I've been debating it and kind of going over tape over the last few days. You can't go wrong with either one. If Nelson is there, then I understand taking him. But my goodness, Kwiatkoski is now your other starting inside linebacker. And I think that he's better in more of a reserve role. If you can get Roquan Smith, that to me is a guy that plays right now, and I would love to see that on that defense.
I agree. I think the defense is a great player away from being borderline great, and so I'd love to see them add that impact player to the defensive side of the ball. To me, Quentin Nelson, I will understand it. Everybody does. It's protecting your top investment in Mitch Trubisky, so you can't be mad at that pick, but great guards don't win you Super Bowls. Playmakers on defense can. Playmakers at elite positions can. And guard just will never be an elite position in the NFL.
It's the least important position on the field. I mean, real talk. I mean, if you were ranking the positions, guard would end up last.
No question. So, I mean, they say it'll be great in the locker room and he'll end up being a team captain and all sorts of stuff. And he might be. But I said it for the last month. If they take Quentin Nelson, he needs to be Zach Martin. Like, Pro Bowls are not good enough. It needs to be all pros.
No, I think that's probably what you're hoping for. And then you feel like your interior of your line with long white hair and Nelson is, I think, would be at the top in as far as interior linemen go. Their tackles are a whole nother issue. But at least you know that up the middle, you're pretty solid if Kyle Long is healthy enough to be as effective as he was a couple years ago. So I'm curious how this is going to go, and with all the stuff that's kind of happened the last 24 hours with Baker Mayfield now maybe jumping to the top of the draft, I'm curious on how this changes the calculus for everyone. So I'm kind of jacked up about seeing how this whole thing goes down.
It's going to be fun. It'll be the most watched draft ever. The quarterbacks being in Cowboy Stadium, all of the networks that are covering it. It's going to be an insane hoopla. Tons of thank yous today. We had 7 guests for 8 picks in 1 segment. Jonathan Pederlin, Pat Leonard, Brian Costello, Troy Renk, Kevin Brown, Rick Stroud, and Rich Campbell. A flawlessly executed mock draft. So thanks to Tony Gill, Chris Tannehill, and Nick Shepkowski, especially for their work in that 3 o'clock segment. People should check it out on the podcast page at 670thescore.com. Jason Stark was our only other guest. Thanks to everyone out here at Shoeless Joe's, the Score promotion team, Prairie Organic Vodka, for making it possible. I assume you're doing all draft tonight, Lawrence?
Yeah, I got 30 minutes of draft stuff, and then I'm headed off to do my own draft show over at NBC Sports Chicago. Myself and Alex Brown, we're going to be doing some stuff after Cubs and White Sox is over. So around 11 o'clock or so, keep us on the TV, keep the guys here on the radio, and you're good to go with your draft coverage.
Yep, the radio show for the draft is actually at 670thescore.com. Cubs will be on the radio. And you were, I DVR'd it because I was watching NBA playoffs, but you and Alex and Hub, it was good stuff. I watched it back on DVR. I love the camaraderie you guys have and the chemistry on air. It's legitimately good television. So check out Lawrence at NBC Sports Chicago. Shep, great job, man. You were fantastic today.
20 minutes we have tomorrow. Who are we reviewing or previewing as the next new Bear?
I said earlier, I think it'll be Roquan Smith. That's what I think it will be. Minka Fitzpatrick, I think, is also pretty likely as well. I think it's going to be a defensive player with the 8th overall pick. Lawrence, have a good show, man. We are back tomorrow after Cubs baseball with McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Hey, Tom, you're up early.
Well, it is draft day. How you doing?
Well, I'm great. I'm having a great day. How about you?
Well, I'm sitting here eating my pancakes, thinking about moving number one.
Really?
You make this deal right now, Tom, and you get Bo Callahan. Say it with me. You get Bo. Come on, Tom. Say it with me, you pancake eating.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.